Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Let's Talk Kashrus, presented by the Kashrus Awareness Project in conjunction with Torah Anytime. Today, I am joined by Rabbi Shalom Fishbein, Kashrus Administrator of the Chicago Rabbinical Council. How are you, Rabbi Fishbein?
I'm doing wonderful. Great to be back.
Thank you. It's great to have you back once again. Yes. I want to tell you, one of the most popular episodes that we've done on Let's Talk Kashrus was about Starbucks and what coffee you could buy and things like that. And you gave a tremendous share on it. And we got so many people talking about it and coming with questions and things of that sort. So, many people wanted to know, now that they know what they could and can't buy in Starbucks, what's the story with other stores and coffee? And let's just take as an example Dunkin' Donuts. If I see a Dunkin' Donuts, they have black coffee, and I want to walk in, may I buy coffee? And if yes, is there other limitations on what type I can purchase?
Right, okay, yeah, for sure. So there's two differences, I guess. Dunkin' Donuts is a share with Nayats more than the rest of the thing. So today let's talk about Dunkin' Donuts actually. So a disclaimer. It's not a kosher place. And the last thing we want to accomplish in Let's Talk Kashrus and Kashrus Awareness is to push people to go to non-kosher places. I mean, that's the opposite of our goals, right? But having said that, there's a world of a difference between a Starbucks and a Dunkin' Donuts, and for the following main reason. Dunkin' Donuts actually has in its systems kosher Dunkin' Donuts. The entire place is kosher. We have two in Chicago. There's many in New York. There's in other communities. So that means when they think about an ingredient, a new product, a drink base, a food, they're going to try to make it kosher if it could be kosher. Mm-hmm. So you walk into the door, it's a completely different type of conversation.
Now, to clarify, these Dunkin' Donuts, are they franchises? Are they all owned by one owner? Are there individual owners?
Usually a franchise. It's usually, but whatever it is, Dunkin' Donuts is the one, all the ingredients come from corporate.
Come from corporate.
So that the flavor and the taste are the same. And therefore, they're the one that dictates. So while a particular person may own this one, that one, but everything food-wise comes from corporate.
And you know this for a fact, that corporate will take into account the kosher sensitivity?
Absolutely. They have in their system, I've seen their computer system, there's something called a kosher option. In other words, they have a designated thing. It really changes the whole conversation. I mean, while in Starbucks, every single time you got to go in and check, and I'm always saying, can I just see the box? Because they change. Starbucks has no allegiance to order something kosher. If they can get something cheaper, like a base or a refresher, whatever it is, they can do that. Not with Dunkin' Donuts. They'll try their hardest. So just in terms of ingredients and the things they're bringing in, they try to be kosher. Now, obviously, the bacon's not going to be kosher, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. People shouldn't, based on what you just said, people shouldn't walk away and say, oh, I could just walk into Dunkin' Donuts and buy anything because they have an understanding of kosher.
Right.
Obviously, it's not the case.
Right.
But a tray for Dunkin' Donuts is a tray for
Dunkin' Donuts.
Right.
So that's number one.
Okay.
The second most important thing is, if you remember back when we talked about Starbucks, the big problem is the washing of the equipment together. And in Starbucks, they have a specific added piece, which we call the Hobart. It's very high temperature. It complicated things, especially when you have really non-kosher to washing together. The thing Dunkin' Donuts has, which is just great for kashrus, and I don't know how they decided it, but every Dunkin' Donuts washes. And I'm talking about Dunkin' Donuts in America, so I haven't been in all Dunkin' Donuts in the world. Mm-hmm. They wash the same with the same temperature. And Baruch Hashem, if I can say, it's set. It's a preset under Yatzo lettuce. Mm-hmm. So that worry about bleos of maybe something non-kosher getting in is offset. And therefore, again, those are the two most important things why a Dunkin' Donuts is starting off so much better.
I'm curious, why would they have such a policy? Is it a safety thing?
No one was able to give me an exact answer, but it works. It has to do with the amount of soap and the water. It's just under Yatzo lettuce. And besides that, the fact that the soap and the water come out at the exact same time, which you have the pegima,
right.
But even the temperature is below Yatzo lettuce. Mashain came by a Starbucks. So really, as I was saying, it's such a different type of place. So therefore, a black Dunkin' Donut, a cup of coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, 1,000%.
No problem.
There's no problem. Well, look, again, we're not encouraging people to go.
Right.
You're on the road. You're tired. You need to get something. I'm going to be saying that a lot because I don't want people to walk away saying, oh, I can just go to any, you know, it's a slippery slope. But if you need, and it's far better to get a coffee at a Dunkin' Donuts than a Starbucks and almost any other place that I've done the research. And, you know, I have all sorts of, you know, we can get into the details of how they make things. Like, for example, the cold brew. If you remember in Starbucks, the cold brew is made actually hot. And then they'll age it for a couple of days almost, which we had a cup of Shiloh. Right. Over there, Dunkin' Donuts is actually made cold, and they're only aging it to 12 to 15 hours, which is under...
not a Kovish problem.
It's not a Kovish issue, as an example. You know, I looked at the refreshers. The refreshers was that big concern we had. It's actually Trafe by Starbucks.
Right.
In Dunkin' Donuts, I keep going, can I see your refresher base? It happens to be CRC. That's who I work for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chicago Rabbinical Council. It's a CRC Parv base. They put in ice, some green tea that they... freshly brew in a brew basket, and it's great.
Is that in all Starbucks?
In
all Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, the
refreshers. All Dunkin' Donuts,
yeah,
the
wherever
refreshers?
I've gone, I've been, really? I keep checking, So that's what I'm saying.
So to clarify, you could go into a Dunkin' Donuts and buy any refresher?
You can get a refresher that they sell, and look, I'm always saying, ask, you know, can I just see a refresher base? But you're going to see it's going to be kosher parv. And the way they make it is these three things that I just said.
And you're
saying
that it's actually under the CRC Chicago
Rabbinical
Council.
Yeah, the base happens to be under, yeah, it happens.
What else goes into a refresher that would be of concern?
The green tea and the ice. Oh, well, concern? No,
nothing.
Everything else is part of. Uh-huh. The culotta, that's another popular thing there. They have three flavors. So
Which is what for us?
It's a flavor and water.
A flavor drink?
But it has like ice and other, you know, cools you down type of thing, culotta. So the blue raspberry happens to be part of. The strawberry is dairy equipment. The vanilla bean happens to be Mamish Milchig.
Mm-hmm.
Big question we get all the time is hot chocolates. So on Starbucks, it was an issue based on the base. Over there, all the dairy it's a dairy powder. It's also CRC, but it's milchik. It is milchik. Uh-huh. You know.
So it's not Chol Yisrael.
No, it's not Chol Yisrael. All of the flavor shots, you know, when you get with your coffee, what I've seen are dairy equipment. They're kosher dairy equipment, et cetera, et cetera. So even the iced tea is brewed into a plastic liner bag as opposed to, let's say, Starbucks. It's so much simpler. So therefore, in summary, you're much better off, in my opinion, and I've been doing a lot of coffee research, A, because I travel a lot, and B, because people ask a lot.
Right.
You know, whether you're dealing with you know, a 7-Eleven, you know, and for another subject, we can go through some of those others.
I want to have a conversation with you, because I get asked very often, especially as a follow-up to the Starbucks conversation. So now that we're kind of addressing Dunkin' Donuts, I know the follow-up is going to be, how about Wawa and 7-Eleven and Quick Check and so on and so forth?
Right.
Or some mom-and-pop coffee shop and things like that. Could I buy a black coffee? We're going to leave that for a different time.
Stay tuned. But I could say right now that all those things you mentioned, Dunkin' Donuts is still going to be better.
Uh-huh.
So that's really the one to go to. Without, of course, pushing people to get into you know, if you can get. It was so funny this morning. I landed in Newark, and a Heimischer couple comes over to me. Where can I get a kosher coffee? Now, this is, you know, sometimes. So right away, I'm going to. Well, there's a Starbucks there. You can get an Americano if you order that. And I was giving the whole spiel,
right.
And he's looking, and he and she were looking at me like, "It's Chol Yisrael?" I said, oh, "I'm sorry. What did you mean by a kosher?"
Right.
You know, where in Newark Airport, in Terminal A, do they sell Chol Yisrael coffee? I was like, sorry, they don't. You know, but our definition of kosher, I'm deep into what you can get in Starbucks, and in this, you can get this, you know.
Also, we're so used to being able, Baruch Hashem, to get what we need almost always, that we think at Newark Airport,
Absolutely. Especially
it's in the tri-state area, yeah. You should be able to get a Chol Yisrael coffee, right?
Right, and this is the very reason.
Did they know when they asked you that you're involved in Kashas?
No.
They asked you as a random person?
Random guy walking by that seemed
of
to
all
know.
The people, they asked the greatest coffee expert in America.
Yeah, it's very funny.
That is funny.
Yeah. So that's what happened this morning. But that's the story with the Dunkin' Donuts.
Now, one other question about Dunkin' Donuts. Sure. So if I go to a Dunkin' Donuts that does not have Hashgacha, I could order my black coffee. I pull up by the drive-through or whatever it is, or I go to the counter. And there are some Dunkin' Donuts that actually have bottles of Chol Yisrael milk because they know they want to cater to the more religious Orthodox consumer.
Mm-hmm.
How is that? There's no supervision, but there are bottles of Chol Yisrael milk. Can I take the word for it that it is Chol Yisrael? I'm sure you've been asked about this.
Oh, yeah, sure. And it's not just in Dunkin' Donuts. It's also like on the Thruway and there's other places. I remember having this conversation with Rav Belsky, Zichrono Livracha, and we couldn't find a heter because whenever you need, it's not a Chol Yisrael question, it's a Simonim question.
Right, right.
Whenever you have something that it's easy to be machlif, it's easy to switch out, and there's an incentive to, you need a Nemon Kashrus to make sure that doesn't happen. And so there's, I don't know of necessarily a heter. Now, if it's a brand new bottle that you're cracking open for the first time,
you're good to go.
So make sure you go really early in the morning when they bring out the fresh bottles. But if it's already opened, it is, it's a big problem. And I have to tell you something. I had the schus to give a few kashrus classes recently in Lakewood to some seminaries and some high schools, some of the girls' schools. And this question came up. Can we go to this? Actually, they asked me about a local Dunkin' Donuts that has it. And I said the same thing. I can't, pi halacha and hilchos simonim, I don't really understand a heter. When I was walking out of one of the places, a girl came over to me. She says, I can't believe you said that. I want you to know, 2 weeks ago, I went to the Dunkin' Donuts right, you know, I don't remember which street it is, but it may even have a heksher, I don't know. They had the Chol Yisrael bottles there. It was late at night, and I noticed the worker pouring from the Chol of Stam milk into the Chol Yisrael container. And she says to him, what are you doing? He says, well, I ran out of this milk, so milk is milk. And she says, it's so ironic you're telling me, but I actually saw this. This is a Bishyakov girl, a Neman Kashrus, who, you know, ate up, telling us the halal. And it was like, you know,
our greatest fear being realized.
It's being realized right here in Lakewood,
Wow.
where that actually happened. So it's, you know, I don't understand necessarily those that give a heksher to places and say Chol Yisrael available. I don't understand their cheshbin, but certainly, you know, there's something to worry about.
But that's interesting. Are you saying that in any store that has open Chol Yisrael milk that they're providing, that they need a constant supervision? You need Tmidi on the milk?
Well, if in the shelf next door, not, you know,
you're saying within the establishment,
10 feet away is Chol Stam milk, which is what they have this.
Which is exactly what happened in this girl's case.
Yeah,
where they ran out of the Chol Yisrael.
They ran out, so they just switched over. It wasn't you know, it wasn't like an all Chol Yisrael place or something like that. That, you know, so that's what happened. So
thank you, Rabbi Fishbein. It's wonderful speaking to you, and we look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you for having me.